Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my master of the mystic arts, Frank.
Well, hello.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Your hands, though, look terrible.
Mm.
Did you have some surgery on those hands?
We'll get to that.
Oh, wait, no, that's just a wedding ring.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Oh. So what you drinking?
I am drinking this delicious shawarma that
what?
I put in a blender. You know, for I know it sounds terrible. Frank and I are a bit of off pace tonight, and so we are eating our dinner whilst podcasting,
yes.
So we can bring you up to the minute entertainment that we never bring you.
Yeah, we're recording on a night other than our normal night, and you know we wanted to make sure we still brought you a Beer with Geeks, so we said, you know what. I think they can put up with us munching a little bit.
They can put up with our spit.
Yeah, just a little. Just a little.
Just slightly.
We'll try to be mindful. But it also seems fitting that, you know, we're talking about a Marvel movie and we're eating shawarma. So
that is absolutely correct. I did not. Is that why you wanted shawarma tonight?
No, I was just in the mood for it.
Oh, okay. If people have never had shawarma, it is actually delicious.
It's a delight.
It is not just an Avengers gag, but truly an excellent meal.
It's delicious.
All right, so Doctor Strange came out recently. And I've seen it. You've seen it.
Yeah, I love it. Peter Sellers, you know, all the stuff about the atomic bomb. Great movie. Doctor Strange Love is one of my favorite movies. Really, really great movie.
I was not prepared for that sass, and so I can't come up with an appropriate answer to
that's
you.
That's okay.
Except, what about the big board?
You didn't have to
what
stop.
About the big? What about the big board?
To stop worrying and learn how to love the bomb. That's
no,
it.
There's no violence in the war room. You
know? Yeah. That's good.
All right. So, no, Doctor Strange came out. Marvel's 14th.
Has it really been 14?
I think it's their 14th film
since Incredible Hulk.
No, since
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Iron Man. Duh.
What?
I don't know why. I don't. Yeah. No, this just ignore me.
Partial. A beer with partial geeks. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, you're fine. You're eating. Yeah, let me do the talking while my food gets cold. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, so.
No, so yeah, we both saw it. You saw it. You've seen it twice already.
I saw it Thursday, and then I saw it Saturday morning when my friend was like, yo, you want to go see Doctor Strange? And I was like, yeah, sure. You praying? Absolutely.
It's like Saturday morning cartoons, except real live action.
Right, and, exactly. It's like an old cereal.
Yeah, exactly.
And I probably had some old cereal that morning.
Like an old serial, except the same episode airs twice. What?
Yeah, what? Yeah, it was just as good. Well, I really liked it. It was just as good the second time.
I really liked it, too. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. The comparisons I've been hearing to Iron Man, original Iron Man, are very apt, I think. I think it's got a lot of the fun element to it.
Yep.
Cumberbatch was a different character for once. I feel like he usually is kind of the same character. I like Cumberbatch a lot.
Yep.
I think he's a good actor. I love Sherlock, but admittedly, I think that he kind of tends to stick to one character, and that's fine. But in this
geniuses,
instance,
he sticks to geniuses.
He's a geniuses, exactly, as he noted on SNL. But yeah, I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed the movie a whole lot, and it was really fun, and it was everything that I hoped it would be. I'm not a big Doctor Strange fan. I don't know the character.
You don't really like magic. You don't like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not your thing. So I wasn't really sure what to expect from you because, you know, like, because I knew they were going to get up there and they were going to be like, you know, the vaulting boots of Vishanti. And you were going to be like,
right.
No, I am no. One, alliteration, get out of here. Two, magic. And so, and you knew magic going in. And so, yeah. I'm a little surprised that it struck a chord with you in some way. As I always am, when you say you like something with magic, I'm like, well, why do you like that? You don't like magic. You're just like Uncle Vernon.
Well, I'll say this. It was, I can handle a little magic. It's not my preferred genre.
Our magic moments.
Mm-hmm. Our magic moments are unlike anything else. I can handle, you know, a movie, of less than 3 hours length. That's about magic. Mm-hmm. especially because it ties into the Marvel universe that I am a fan of. So that, you know, I had that going for it. And it had a lot of whimsy and a lot of, you know, sort of delightfulness. And mm-hmm. I think the ties back to the real world and the tiles, not real world, to the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic.
Wow.
It's very cinematic. I'm not even going to cut this out. The Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've come to know and love over the last 14 films, apparently, since it has ties to it, I enjoyed it on that level, too. And I saw it in 3D, which I normally don't like. And you know what? I'm glad I saw it in 3D. It was one of the very few movies I can say was worth seeing in 3D.
I saw it in 2D and 3D, and I saw it in 3D first, and so when I saw it in 2D on Saturday, I was like, oh my goodness, what a difference.
Yeah.
Apparently IMAX is tremendously good for this film, like his multi-dimensional hop. With the Ancient One is supposed to be spectacular.
I would have liked to. I wanted to see it in IMAX 3D. I didn't have the timing didn't work out, so I had to see it in regular, real D 3D. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, I was glad that I sprung for the few extra bucks.
Yeah, I was too. So the plot of this movie is rather basic, yes. And so it's just, it is a very typical origin story movie, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. And to a bit, a typical origin story. And so, you know, it's like, oh, it's classic. It's definitely classic hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
Even as far as to, you know, like he comes back home to New York. You know, he starts in New York and he ends in New York. And so it's very, very classic hero's journey that way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you about Cumberbatch. I think, you know, like, I like him a lot, but I understand what you mean. He does play, like, he can play a similar type, as a lot of actors can. I mean, like, when I watch Tom Hanks in a movie, most of the time I'm like,
right.
you're Tom Hanks. Right. You're acting, certainly. You're very good at it. You are character, but there's an underlying, I'm Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Which grounds people, right? You are, you're relatable in some way. I mean, like, we could talk about, what's his name? Greatest actor of his generation, Method, Abe Lincoln, John Proctor.
Daniel Day-Lewis,
thank you. You can talk about how Daniel Day-Lewis is a great actor and everything, but if you watch all of his characters, there's a through line all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they got to be grounded. And so I liked Stephen Strange. You could get real iffy, and he could cross that Tony Stark barrier real fast, right?
It's true. If you're not careful, he could.
Genius,
he didn't.
Brash, facial hair. You know, all that stuff.
Facial hair buddies, yeah.
Facial hair bros, yeah. And so I would be very... So you could... And I felt he never crossed that line.
Like
he's a very... He is a different character.
Mm-hmm.
He's arrogant in a different way. Even when it comes time for him to save the world, like, he's very much like... By the third act of the film, he's even then kind of like, nope. Like, don't
it's
want
true.
To. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Whereas Tony... wants to save the world by the second at the beginning of the second act, it's a little different. There was some controversy surrounding this film. I want to talk about it with the casting of Tilda Swinton as the
Ancient One,
traditionally an elderly Tibetan man.
Yes.
What did you think of her and that controversy?
Well, so here's the thing. I have not read any Doctor Strange comics. I've only ever experienced him as a secondary character in other stories.
Spider-Man, the animated TV series?
Yes, a little bit in that. I hadn't thought about that, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
In Iron Man comics this past, like, last year.
Yep.
So that's kind of been my exposure. Very minimal. Very, very minimal. And so I don't really have any familiarity with the Ancient One. But the idea of, like, oh, we're going to take the Ancient One and, like, you know, there's all this controversy about whitewashing and why don't you cast, if it's an Asian character, why don't you cast an Asian actor? I heard an argument. I didn't hear this from any source, but there's the argument like, well, they didn't want to go with the stereotypical sort of, you know, the old
Fu Manchu,
old wise Asian stereotype. They didn't want to do that either. You know, I kind of feel like you should be truer to the character, especially when there's so few Asian actors cast in these major roles nowadays. There's a big disparity. Tilda Swinton's a great actress. She did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. But I do see, I understand, and I kind of side with the people who were upset about the casting.
I see. I'm on the other boat. I'm glad that you are on one side, because I am not. I'm on their side for her casting, and here's why. One, without her, it's a total sausage fest.
That's true.
Like, wicked bad. So
what, you don't like 7 minutes of Rachel McAdams?
Yeah, right. Who was great in her 7 minutes? She's not Pepper.
She was.
But she was a great seven.
She was great, but so underutilized.
Extremely.
For somebody who was in, you know, the Best Picture last year, Spotlight.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, she's not integral to, she saves his life and like all this stuff. But she's not integral to the plot the way that Pepper was, or
sure.
or that even Jane Foster was, mm-hmm, or anything mm-hmm. like
oh,
that.
Yeah. Certainly not.
Yeah, underutilized that way. But you know what? That's okay. Never say she can't have a bigger part next time. Maybe she didn't want a big part. Maybe she wanted to be in a Marvel movie and didn't, like, she was like, I'll come in for, you know, a few weeks, whatever.
Who knows?
But anyway, so I'm against taking away the Asian stereotype, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's silly, right? It's Marvel is about subverting your expectation.
Mm.
And, you know, and even we get a lead up to that moment with him, like with Doctor Strange being like, oh, that isn't that guy over there more, more mystical than this doorway. Mm-hmm. And then we see, the master in there. And then it's like, thank you for seeing me. And then it's her, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of subverting of that, you know, like even he's like, see how stereotypical it is for him to be like, oh, Asian man with mustache must obviously be the ancient one.
And I will, when I saw that, and I saw what they were doing, I was like, okay, I see where they're going with this. She's going to come up to him and he's going to be, you know, not expect that it's her. I appreciated that in the movie. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. I like this twisting it, turning it on its head thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you would expect that to be the ancient one, right? You would expect that older guy. So I liked that in the movie. So it didn't bother me while I was watching the movie, but sort of on principle, you know, I understand where people are coming from when they say that.
I also see from, there's all of that, but the cat, the sorcerers are quite diverse, like extremely.
That's very true.
And so by adding her in, there's a larger scheme of diversity than just here's this ancient mm-hmm. Asian man.
Okay.
And so, you know, she's Celtic. Mordo is black and British. Caecilius is Danish. Wong is Chinese, you know, and who is all traditionally Chinese, you know, so the other ones scattered throughout. So there's a smattering from almost every
mm-hmm.
place, you know, you're
people come from all over the world to learn here.
Right. Pretty much. And you're missing, you know, you're still missing stuff, but you know, like not as much. So I think that it was smart to diversify that way to make a woman the center of power. I mm-hmm. also thought was smart.
I do really like, again, on principle, I like the woman the center of power.
And then from all of that, I've heard, don't know how true this is, that the movie, like because the movie is released in China.
That's, mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
Making a Tibetan the center of power is very dicey. And when you want the movie to make money, sometimes you have to appease your movie going audience, or at least the government of that movie going audience.
I was
going
to say, if you want it, not to get banned in a major market, then yeah.
Right, exactly. Because China is the second largest market. And so when a film doesn't open there, it does not make nearly as much money as they want it to. And
what
Marvel,
was the recent film that...
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, that's what it was, right, because you can't show ghosts.
You can't show ghosts. And most of the supernatural is forbidden by government, and so, which is funny considering some movies that come out of there, and that Doctor Strange was allowed, Harry Potter's allowed, Fantastic Beasts is going to, you know, like all that stuff,
right?
It's very strange how the censorship works, but
So, now that we've acknowledged that our podcast is probably banned in China.
Ah, shoot.
Damn it.
Eh, what are you going to do? And so,
did you have a favorite character other than Stephen Strange?
That's a good question. I mean, I really liked Wong. I always like Wong. Because I'm not a huge Doctor Strange fan, not in the way that, you know, not the way that I love Batman or Spider-Man or, you know, like where I could pull issues and numbers and, you know, anything in like influential stories and everything like that. It's like a tertiary love. I probably love Doctor Strange more than I like, more than I love Iron Man, if that's. If that's helpful, I've read more Doctor Strange stories than I've read Iron Man stories. But that comes back to my, I like magic more than technology split, sure. I think. I always liked Doctor Strange. You got to choose one facial hair, bro. It's either Tony Stark or Doctor Strange, and I chose Doctor Strange.
One or the other.
So I was looking forward to this movie for a long time. So I really liked Wong. I thought Caecilius was a little underdeveloped, even though I got the story and he had a clear through line. It's not like some other Marvel movie villains where like Jeff Bridges mm-hmm. is like, you're crazy for mm-hmm. reasons, mm-hmm. you know, or even all the Iron Man villains, even for that matter.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like the Jeff Bridges character,
it's the third act where he kind of loses it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard. It's hard to kind of justify that.
Yes.
But,
but the rest of it's real good.
He's probably
one of the stronger ones in the lineup of Marvel movie villains. Who
Justin Hammer was pretty good.
Justin Hammer was good. Red Skull was good.
Yeah,
because Nazis are easy. You know, like you just
right.
Here's a Nazi. You know what their intent is.
Yeah, you
like,
get it.
Yeah, you got it. Right. No problem.
The one thing I did like
Ronan was underdeveloped in Guardians.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Agreed. Yeah.
None of them are bad villains. They're just underdeveloped,
sure,
because they're not the focal point, because it's not their origin mm-hmm. story. Otherwise, you run into the mm-hmm. Tim Burton problem, in which the movie's focused on the villain and like, oh, by the way, Batman's here.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with it. Loki escapes that.
Right. Loki's yeah. I will say that one thing I really liked about having him turn evil, like, before we even were introduced to his character, mm-hmm. really, was that it alleviates a lot of that problem, because you can do it really early in the story, like when your introduction is him being bad, and you don't have to worry as much about the setup, right? You don't have to worry as much about like, well, how did he turn evil? When you kind of start, you know, in media res, and he's already like, mm-hmm. you're meeting him at the moment that he's turned evil.
Yes,
it's easier to sort of be told like, well, there was all the stuff that led up to it,
right? And they do to give you a bit like he came from loss, and you know, and so like,
yeah,
it's very simple to put together like maybe his family died, so he came, and this is why he wants life, eternal life, because you know, because his family has like, and that's that's all just,
and that's understandable, right?
Context
clues.
That's
reasoning that you can understand, and so it's one of the few. My rule is usually show, don't tell, but this is one of the places where, because of the way that they did it, because of the pacing, because of where in his story we met him, and when in this story we met him, mm-hmm. It's okay to tell and not show. There was a lot of exposition in the film.
Very
in particular
much.
in the temple.
Yep.
Right when Strange was fooling around with the Infinity Stone for the first time, and that was a really cool effect with the apple.
That was really cool.
It was a very clever way of showing us, like, okay, he's turning back time. Like,
I like that time was even on his wrist.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I thought that was cool.
This is time. You know, this place where I wear a watch. This is great.
Exactly. Especially because the watch was a big device throughout the movie.
Product placement.
Jaeger. Yes, it was.
Because Tony Stark wears a Jaeger watch.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never noticed that.
Which watch would you like, Mr. Stark? The Jaeger.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That's product placement.
Nice.
It's really smart product placement because it's worked into the story. It's a through line right through.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really
cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. So was his Microsoft laptop that he threw.
And that was magically back on the table.
Yes, his Surface Pro.
Yep.
That's why it's the Surface Pro. It just flies back up onto the table.
That's right.
It was very, very, there was a lot of, it was exposition heavy at points. And it was a little bit of the, as you know, Bob, you know, that brand of exposition where they're like, you already know this, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. There was a bit of that, but that didn't bother me all too much.
Sure. I don't really notice exposition a lot if it's done. If I don't notice it, that means it's done well, because like you have to explain some of these things.
You have to. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course. But I think it's funny that the ancient one is like, not everything has to make sense.
Yes.
Here's all these things to me for to explain to you, you know?
Yes.
I enjoyed that. I loved Doctor Strange's love of music.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that like opening scene where he's on the operating table and he's
actually, I think the first 5-10 minutes of this movie is some of the strongest in the film.
I would agree. Yeah. Actually. Yeah.
It's real good stuff.
Him being a jerk. Yeah. In the beginning was like really, really, really good. He was a jerk. Yeah,
right.
He was unlikable, but you know, in a funny way, he was very funny.
I think that was obvious with my disdain, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I love that he was a music expert and able to like name anything within the year, and he was fighting with the guy about whether it was 77 or 78 that the song came out.
The album was released in December of 77.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, it was real, real good stuff. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I didn't ever answer your question. I think Mordo was actually my favorite character.
Ooh, interesting.
Particularly by the end of the film, because Mordo's got a really nice arc that's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this, you know, like, I'm here, I'm your mentor. It's very Sinestro Hal Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, good pull there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's even... and so he... which is not Mordo's traditional story.
Okay,
in the
I was
comics,
wondering.
Not even close. He's like, I want to be the most powerful sorcerer, so I'm going to team up with Dormammu, and it'll be great. And
so he does turn.
He does team up with. I'm curious to see what they'll do.
Yeah.
Here because.
But in the comics, he does turn evil.
Typically, if you were to Caecilius in this film is basically Mordo's original origin.
Okay.
And so I'm curious as to where they're going to take Mordo, but it feels like they've set Doctor Strange up as this Tony Stark replacement, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
To be now it's less we will be fighting aliens and tech villains as much in the Avengers, but we'll be fighting more mystical things maybe,
right,
or space things or whatever. I guess that's aliens, whatever. Dimensional things.
Yeah.
And we've set Mordo up as this Loki type character. So
sure.
Even though it's phase one, you know, Marvel's kind of taken, okay, these are the things that work in phase one.
Right.
And let's kind of mush them together and create something new, you mm-hmm. know? And so I liked all that. I like his arc to this no more sorcerers thing, you know, because the ancient one says he's on the line and you will not move him from what he believes in mm-hmm. or thinks. And so he does the soul searching, you know, like this too many and the magic should be contained in this
right.
and everything. And I like that. It should be good because Chiwetel Ejiofor is a great actor and he really sold a lot of this movie.
Yeah, he really did. Brought a lot of gravitas.
Who can like the vaulting boots of Vathum and
right.
just be like, I'm just going to say this
and you're
going to be okay with it.
Just,
you know,
just roll with it, guys.
The staff of the Living Tribunal. You're just going to roll with this. You're just going to roll with the Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
Which is the thing, the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe. Powerful being. So Dormammu.
Yes.
Fun fact, did you know Dormammu's face is actually Benedict Cumberbatch's?
Yeah. I did read that this morning.
That's very cool. Because Dormammu in the comics, his face is very lined, which I really like. And
yes.
So I liked that wave effect that he created.
That was cool.
Yeah, the idea that he doesn't need a face in the mm-hmm. Dark Dimension. So he made a face based off of Doctor Strange's. So
right.
he could communicate.
I thought that was very cool. I actually thought, I was like, is that Josh Brolin? Is Dormammu?
Purple face, alien, purple face dimensional being.
With the stripes on it,
Well.
For a second I was like, is that just like another name for Thanos?
Yep.
Is that like,
nope.
Is it like, really the different, like religions have different names for their god, but it's the same god?
I think Marvel has really, I think Marvel has set up Dormammu as their Galactus. If you listen,
okay.
if you listen to the description of him, he's the destroyer of worlds.
Mm.
He hungers for Earth. You know, I think they don't have Galactus. Fox has Galactus.
Right.
I think they've...
That's interesting.
I think they've set Dormammu up to really come back. Dormammu, who's ancient and possibly eternal, who could be tricked by a magic wristwatch. You know?
Right.
You know, just saying. Yeah.
I thought that was so... that was such a great moment for Stephen Strange to be like, hey, I'll stay here forever. I will go through this time loop forever, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And that was funny again. Like that was another moment that was serious but funny where he just kept, you know, the different readings of the same line over and over again were really amusing and funny. And it was a real moment of character growth. I feel like there was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
to have him, because I don't know how many times he was supposed to have looped that that conversation, right? But Dormammu eventually gave in. I can't help but wish that they had done something where he comes out and he's, you know, it's been like, oh, I did it for 20 years, and I've 20 years of contemplation of doing the same loop over and over again made me a wiser sorcerer, and now I'm ready to take up the mantle of, you know, whatever.
You wanted that Superman in the Richard Donner film moment where he's like,
yeah,
I did 12 years of this, and now I have a suit. Yeah, or
sort of, yeah, something like that. Something like that, where it's just sort of like he is at peace now. He's spent these years. He's gotten wiser from
that. That's actually an excellent,
making that sacrifice.
Excellent idea. Excellent suggestion. I like that very much. I mean, in the end credits tag, directed by Taika Waititi,
director of
Thor Ragnarok, he does even seem in there wiser. Slightly wiser.
Yes, you know, he does. Yep.
You know, I mean, I make it my business to know of all threats to this and Earth and whatever else.
And he does.
He has his yellow gloves on.
Yes. And he did, you know, make a hard choice to not use his power to just heal himself. Although I did kind of wonder, like, why can't he like stay with them and also heal himself? Like, why can't he do both? Like, use the power to like completely heal his. They were saying like, we have to choose. Either you go back to your regular life and you let the magic like, you know, channel through you and you can heal yourself.
I don't think
they made it sound like a dichotomy, and I was like, why?
I think you're talking about Benjamin Bratt's character.
Yes.
Pangborn. So he said he didn't have the strength to continue forward, meaning like,
yes.
So like, I can't go forward with this. Doctor
the
Strange.
The ancient one made it sound though, like you kind of have a choice. You do one or the other.
I took it as like, you will figure out how to channel into your hands eventually.
Okay.
But he contemplates using the Eye of Agamotto to fix his hands.
Yes.
And then he puts it back, and Wong says, that was wise. Don't use the Infinity Stone. He's like, oh, what? God, didn't you read any of the books that I've given you? Yeah. I mean, obviously you did, but I didn't give you the book on Infinity Stones, the greatest of the books of all, you know.
The other thing, speaking of the Eye of Agamotto, I felt like it was a missed opportunity to not show us what goes wrong when a timeline is fixed, because it was implied that the Ancient One
watched The Flash.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, on The Flash, we know, like, oh man, Barry can't just go back and try to reset time every time something goes wrong, because if he tries to fix it, something else will be broken, right? If you're not careful, you're going to make your best friend a veterinarian. Terrible.
How dare you?
Yeah. But then in this movie, they were just sort of like, oh, bad things can happen. And then he went and he used the Eye of Agamotto to save the day. But I feel like by diverting such a giant tragedy like that, another one is bound, a worse one is bound to happen. And sort of most time travel franchises show you like, you know, oh, well, Marty went back and tried to fix 1985, and he made two 1985s. You know, 1985. Yep. We didn't get that here. There were no consequences for that. And maybe that's because there will be in future films. But I felt like they owed it to us in this film to show us a previous time fix go wrong.
I think that's a great idea. I think they ran out of time.
Probably.
The
Ancient One did imply that she tried to fix time before, or she had fixed many disasters, and no matter what, it always caught up to her.
So maybe it's the eye that does it. I mean, clearly it's a centerpiece.
And she ended up dying anyway. She couldn't stop her own death.
Right. I mean, and it also is a centerpiece of the temple. And so, yep. I mean, to look up and, you know, the earth is there and where looking at the sanctums. And so clearly the eye plays some kind of role in that. Otherwise, it wouldn't just be out in this central place.
Sure.
So I don't know. That's a good point, though.
That'd be interesting to do that.
But
I still enjoyed it. You know, it wasn't like a fatal flaw by any stretch.
Do you think there was enough magic in this movie was there enough magic in this movie about magic?
There was a pretty limited. It was like sort of the magic kung fu in the fire portals and the
ninja
transparent sword, and like the transparent swords, and then all the totems that had their quirks or whatever. The cape was like the Cloak of Levitation. The Cloak of Levitation was like the magic carpet from Aladdin.
That's what I said too.
Yeah, that was my very first thought.
It's usually not as sentient, like it's partial sentient.
That was my next, yeah, I was wondering about that.
But those magical objects were like Harry Potter's wand.
Yeah, a little bit. It was like
the object chooses the sorcerer.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly, exactly. The physical comedy of him like you know, him and the cloak like pulling him away. And,
oh, it was so great.
Oh, that was such great. Great, that was great. So fun. Must have been really hard to shoot.
Probably.
But so funny. I like
when it wipes the tears away from his eyes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was so great.
Yeah.
That was so great.
Stop it. Stop. Yeah. You know that he uses speaking of strange, he uses Benedict Cumberbatch uses a traditional Michigan accent because that's where Doctor Strange is from.
I didn't realize
That's dedication to the role.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. I like that. Yeah.
So I was thinking this whole time, I was looking at like his costume or Wong's costume or Mordo's or anything like that or the Ancient One. To me, they look like Jedi robes. I was looking at them like, man, those look like comfy costumes. Like you're going to be a superhero and you think like, oh no, one piece bodysuit. It's going to be so hard to move.
Right.
Go to the bathroom. Get them. You're like, here are your comfy cotton robes.
Right. Right.
Enjoy. They did look heavy. Like you could tell they had some heft to them.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they were, you know, not the easiest things to move around in. But
I'm sure they were not. I'm sure they were not.
But I liked them very, very much. I liked the Three Sanctums. That was a good idea.
That was a very smart idea.
Three Sanctum Sanctorums. I like how he was given control of the, you know, the guardianship of the New York Sanctum Sanctorum.
Is it usually just one sanctum?
Usually it's just New York. Got it. Yeah.
Just New York. Okay.
It's just New York. But I like this idea of having three of them in important places.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it kind of, because Dr. Strange is supposed to be the Sorcerer Supreme, and he is not the Sorcerer Supreme
yet. Not here. Yeah.
And so, which is fine, because he's still learning. It would have been weird if he was the Sorcerer Supreme at the end of the movie.
Right.
And so he's still working up to that position. Maybe there isn't a Sorcerer Supreme right now, because the Ancient One is dead.
Right.
She was the Sorceress Supreme. And so we're working there.
We're between sorcerers right now.
Did you look at the Sanctum Sanctorum on 177A Bleecker Street and go, that building's not there?
I don't know. I don't know if the building's there or not.
Okay. I know they did scouting in the village, but I'm not sure if that building is really there or not.
Yeah.
It looked like it was there from the outside.
It's plausible. I'll tell you this.
Some of it was there.
It looks like a place. It looks like a place that could be there.
Yeah.
It was consistent with what that part of town looks like.
Right.
So it could be, but I'm looking right now and it seems that 177 Bleecker Street
is just a storefront.
A tattoo parlor.
Yes.
So,
well, that's his address from the books. It's not,
yeah,
like, you know, it's like 221B and, you know,
yeah, yeah,
stuff like that.
Other,
you know,
other iconic other addresses that he's lived at.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. He's got a lot of those.
Okay. Yeah. So it comes from the comics. That's fine.
Yeah. 221B Baker Street, 177A. No, Baker Street, Bleecker Street.
Bleecker Street.
The Lone Ridge Mountain. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting real estate.
Lone Ridge Mountain.
Yeah. I think there was a good amount of magic. It didn't feel like there wasn't a lot in it. Maybe more in the future.
It wasn't overwhelming.
It wasn't. Magic. I think it was a good introduction. I was thinking like how much magic is really in the first Harry Potter movie. You know what I mean? Like how many spells really happen. Not that much. They live in a magical world like this.
Yeah.
These places are clearly magical. There's a lot of dimension hopping and this and that. And
yeah. You know, maybe because
kaleidoscoping.
Yes.
Building kaleidoscoping.
There's a lot of that. Maybe because I am not the biggest magic fan in the world, maybe that's why it didn't even dawn on me. Like, hey, there's not a lot of magic in this movie.
Until
I was reading reviews and people were like, could he use more magic? And I was like, oh, it didn't even occur to me.
I didn't think of it in two of my viewings. I was not like, where's more magic, please, because he's not there yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a little toned down. But I don't mind the toned down nature of it, because all of the Marvel Universe is toned down, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And so, and I think this is a kind of a hard sell to begin with. And so something like, you know, shouting, you know, I don't know, by, you know, the golden shield of Seraphim or, you know, the,
whatever. Right, yeah.
That's tough. That's an even harder sell.
Yeah.
And so when he makes a joke about it, you know, it's like, you know, you know, really rolls right off the tongue. You know, I liked that. I liked his photographic memory. I liked the the Beyonce listening.
Oh my God, the Beyonce listening was hilarious.
Yep.
And of course, then the Stan Lee cameo was hilarious.
Stan Lee cameo was always real nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good one.
There was a lot of Ditko in this, in the design work, especially for the other dimensions, which I really appreciated because Ditko really pushed those boundaries forward. There was a bit of objectivism in this, and Rand, which was a big influence for Ditko when he was writing and drawing Doctor Strange, because he did a lot of the plotting in the book where Stan Lee was kind of like, I'll put the words in because I'm Stan Lee.
Right.
but it was Ditko who really did a lot of that work. And so there was a bunch of that in here that I really appreciated. Stuff like that.
Good stuff.
I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange returning, as the credits told me he would.
Doctor Strange will return.
I am looking forward to him returning in Infinity War. I am, or even in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Right.
Which, if that mid-credit scene is any indication of what that movie's going to be like, I'm super pumped.
Dude, I think between that scene and then the short that Taika Waititi directed with Thor and his roommate there. If
Dale, I think.
If those two are any indication, which I feel like they probably are, I am way more pumped for Thor Ragnarok than I ever was for Thor the Dark World.
Tell
you that much right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah, I think that's going to be a real fun movie.
They left me on an excited note.
Me too.
That's that is the next one, isn't it?
Ragnarok is the next one.
Yeah. I think it's like...
I don't know if it's next... They just... Yeah, that sounds about right, because they just wrapped not too long ago. And so... No, Guardians is the next one.
Guardians is the next one. Yeah, they promote it,
Then it's Thor.
Then Thor, okay.
I don't know when it actually comes. I think it's November again. I think it's this time next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If it is wrapped, then that makes sense. You need about a year usually.
Yeah, and Dark World came out in November.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. Did the first Thor come out in November?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good chat. Do you have any closing thoughts? We're going over time here. We always do for the movie recaps.
There are so many Easter eggs in this movie.
There were many Easter eggs.
There were, but I mean, like Doctor Strange Easter eggs that you, if you're not a Doctor Strange fan, it would not dawn on you to talk about. Wong is holding the Wand of Watoom, which is really important in Doctor Strange Mythos during the climax and stuff like that. Stuff like that, that there's no attention drawn to them, but your eye immediately goes.
If you know
what to look for. I really enjoyed that. I was iffy about Scott Derrickson as the director.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really super familiar with a lot of
I wasn't familiar at all. I don't think.
He apparently lobbied hard for this. Apparently, Doctor Strange was the film that Marvel got lobbied at the most for.
Really?
By directors. And so I think he did a great job, and I'm really looking forward to what comes next. Loved the color. Loved the saturation. I loved it all.
It was great.
Top five, I think, for me, actually.
I'll agree with you there. Yeah. I would put it in top five. It was a lot of fun.
I think it's three Captain Americas. The three Captain Americas and Doctor Strange and maybe Guardians, maybe...
Wow, that's an interesting top five.
Maybe Iron Man. I don't know. Yeah. Guardians or Iron Man could flip in and out. Might be Guardians. I think I enjoy Guardians a little more than Iron Man.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Iron Man, if you go back to it, it's a good movie, but I think we've come a long way since Iron Man at the same time.
Sure.
And so sometimes Iron Man can feel a little plodding.
Yeah.
As this one actually can, too. I did feel there are some parts that were plodded along.
So maybe from my one viewing, I wasn't paying as much attention to that, but I felt the pace was pretty good, and I was kind of grateful that it was like a 2-hour movie in and out, and I didn't feel like, oh my God.
No, we didn't talk about it at all. The score.
That was my closing thought.
Yep.
The Michael Giacchino score. Doom, yeah. Doom, I really, really doom, liked it. It had a theme. It had a memorable theme. I really enjoyed it. I thought that.
Yeah, the fact that I can still hum it right now is that's very telling.
That's because no other, very few of the Marvel movies can you do that with.
No, I could do it with, I could do, we could do it with Avengers.
Yep.
Bum, bum,
yep, I can definitely do Avengers.
And I could do it with, bum, 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 bum. I could do it with Captain America. The first one, that's it, because then this is a tiny motif of it.
In a second
in Winter Soldier, and never again, and then that's it.
So I love that. I thought it sounded very Michael Giacchino brought some notes of Star Trek there. In fact, the main theme has the same chords as the Star Trek main theme.
Yeah.
Same chord progression.
Yeah, I felt a lot of Star Trek in there.
And what you were just humming sounds vaguely like dun 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 dun, dun Harry Potter.
Yeah,
vaguely.
Then magical
in a couple of spots.
Accidentals.
Yes. Yeah. In a couple of spots I thought that I was hearing the Harry Potter music. And my ears perked up. So I thought it was very quintessentially Michael Giacchino score.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of 70s psychedelic.
It had like some guitar stuff going on there.
Yeah.
In the close, I say for the whole closing credits, obviously, because I had to see the
harpsichord sequences.
The harpsichord, there was a Hammond organ, which is like a very 70s instrument. And a few other, I can't remember right off the top of my head right now, but I have to listen to it again, but there were a few instruments that were very 70s. So
yeah.
I liked it a lot.
Me too.
I liked it
Me
a lot.
Too.
I look forward to watching it again when it hits streaming. Okay, cool. So I'm glad we both liked it. It had its problems. It has things, well, not problems necessarily, but things that were, you know, that it, areas for improvement, but overall,
if the movie's perfect, it's hard to excel to a sequel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't want it to have everything because then what's left there for other movies to do? There's no progression.
It's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That is absolutely right.
I would say that, and the audience score is 91. So
yeah, everyone,
for once they agree.
Everyone I know.
For once the critics and the audience agree.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Okay. So until next time, you can find us on beerwithgeeks.com, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks, Twitter at Beer with Geeks. You can email us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. You can find me at Tim_Gannon on Twitter. You can find Frank at Frank Ramblings on the Twitter. And until next time.
Cheers.